Nobody means for it to happen, but it happens all the time in marriage. I mean, you start out with this like wedding day bliss. Remember our wedding day? Yeah. It was awesome, great. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was top moments of our life, you know? Yeah. Wedding day bliss. And then you get into this, like later on, people get into this matrimonial madness where they don't, it's like they don't like each other anymore. It's like it's absolute misery and people feel betrayed, disappointed, trapped, you mm-hmm. know? And I don't know if you know anyone who's ever been through something like that. I don't know if you've been there in your marriage. I don't know if maybe you feel like you're there right now, kind of stuck in misery. And the question that I want to throw out there is, well, what do you do if that is where you find yourself? I mean, are you just supposed to stay miserable forever, or is there a way out? Hey, this is Gabe and Melissa Kolstad, and we're here with Marriage Monthly, and we're going to be talking about kind of a tough topic today.
It is a tough topic, yeah. Because it's true, because marriage, the wedding day is so blissful.
Yeah.
Like, all eyes on you, you're the king and queen of the world. Yep. You know, everybody's throwing money and gifts at you. Like, how can you go wrong? You right. got food. And all of a sudden, like 6 months down the road, you're like, he is so irritating. Hey. I can't even function anymore.
Hey.
But isn't it true? And yeah. it's like you get on each other and you're like, I don't know, wedding goggles go away.
Right.
And suddenly the real you comes out.
Yep.
The real me comes out. And it's like frustrating.
Well, and then people start referring to each other as old man and old lady.
Ball and chain.
I mean, how do yeah. we get from that,
right.
you know, day of the wedding to the misery?
I feel like sometimes we're just so focused on that wedding day and so excited about it. And then when it happens and you're done with it, then you're kind of like let down. You're like, okay, now what?
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, now I actually have to work on this, make an effort. Well,
right.
we have come up with three signs for a miserable marriage.
Yeah, we stole this title, sort of, from yeah. Patrick Lencioni. He has a book yeah, called yeah. Three Signs of a Miserable Job.
Yeah, well, we're going to change yeah. it, obviously.
Three Signs of a Miserable Marriage. So we're gonna yeah. unpack the signs, but then also the solution. So we won't leave you hanging.
Yeah, because I feel like, how does it go from this like amazing wedding day and even amazing first few months of marriage? You're like, oh, this is just awesome.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you're just miserable. And I would say I know a lot of people that have a miserable marriage
mm-hmm.
and it really breaks my heart. So let's talk about this. Let's unpack this a little bit. The first sign of a miserable marriage is when there are secrets.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is such a big thing. When Gabe and I were talking about this, Gabe was like, do you think we should do this podcast? It's going to be a big one. And I'm like, oh, yeah, totally. We need to do it.
Yeah.
Because he was like, what do you think the three signs are? And first thing, right? First yeah. thing that popped in my head, it's secrets. Because I know so many people that have secrets from their mm-hmm. spouse and they act like that's okay. So here's some ways secrets happen is lying.
Yeah. Which can happen, I mean, by saying things that aren't true or not saying things
yeah.
that are true.
Like,
right?
Yeah, like even a little lie's a lie, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, I'm sorry I'm late for dinner. I got caught up at work. Did you? Really? If your spouse asks you a question, don't beat around the bush, right? And
yeah.
don't fib.
Yeah.
And don't call it a fib because that sounds cute. It's a lie. So just tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, right? and then another thing under secrets is hiding. Are yeah. you hiding where you've been, who you've been with, what you've been up to?
Mm-hmm.
If you can't fully disclose to your spouse those things, you're hiding some stuff and you have secrets that should not be happening.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is
I mean, as humans, we have a conscience, you know, so you probably know if this is even like triggering you a little bit like, or maybe you're on the flip side going like, hey, you know, I'm concerned that this might be going on in my
yeah.
marriage. You know, it's important to pay attention to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, another thing is, in secrets of spending,
mm-hmm.
Ooh, does your spouse know where your money goes? I mean, I was thinking about this. Does your spouse know what you're spending your money on? Are you spending it on the wrong things? Porn, strip clubs, drugs, alcohol, gambling, eating out too much? I mean, is there secret things, toys and gadgets, even big stuff? Are you having conversations about your spending? Because if you're hiding a lot of that stuff or anything else you can think of, that will ruin your marriage.
It's a huge wedge, right?
It's a huge wedge. Spending
yeah.
can be a huge wedge. And I mean, as we know, number one reason people get divorced is lack of communication about finances.
Yeah.
So it's a big deal that you guys are both on the same page with your spending. And if somebody, yeah. one of you is spending a lot on stuff they shouldn't be, that's going to cause a riff mm-hmm. in your marriage. So I like this thing. I don't know why, what we were talking about that it came up, but it's called the phone check. And I was saying, you know, if your spouse can't pick up your phone any second of any day
yeah.
and look at it and see who you're snapping, what your bank yeah. account looks like, what's on Messenger, what are you looking at, what's in your little Safari spot that you've been Googling. If you're scared that your spouse is going to see some stuff they shouldn't, that's a problem. Those are secrets. And that shouldn't be the case in your relationship. So the solution is confront and confess. If you feel something fishy is going on with your spouse, have the balls to confront. I'll just say it like
this
that.
PG-13 today.
And if you have some secrets that you need to confess, if you haven't been 100% truthful, you need to come out and confess that to your spouse and have that hard conversation. A lot of times we're fearful. Oh, they're going to come at me. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're going to mm-hmm. divorce me. Oh, they're going to tell somebody else. Come on. You have to confront. It is so important. And you have to confess if you are doing these secrets. It's just so important. It's vital, or your marriage is going to be miserable and you will end up divorced. Secrets will kill your marriage. I'm guaranteeing it. A couple of scriptures real quick. Ephesians 4:25 says, stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all part of the same body. And 1 John 4:18 says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. There's no fear. Gabe can tell me anything and I'm going to take it and we're going to work through it and we're going to come out better. And that should be a safe zone in your relationship too. Now, there's three ways to have a heavy conversation. And we've talked about this. I think we've talked about this before, yeah, but yeah. It's called tone, tact, timing. If you have to have a heavy conversation, you need to watch your tone, mister. Okay. That's something you don't want to do. Watch your tone. Be tactful. Don't attack the person. Don't be like, you're mm-hmm. terrible. You're wrong. You're the worst. Mm-hmm. You're a failure. Don't do that. Don't do that. Be tactful. And lastly, you got to pick the right timing, right? I mean, the timing is vital. You yeah. can't just do this if your husband or wife just comes home exhausted from the kids or exhausted from work or something. You're like, we have a conversation we need to have. You know, relax. Let's figure it out. Take a breather, have a snack and a nap, and then have that conversation, okay? And remember, the goal is intimacy, right? And we had a friend, Steve, he used to say, into me, you see. Intimacy. And we think that's a really cool little thing. So don't keep secrets. It will make your marriage just miserable.
Yeah, it really will.
All right, what's number two? Yeah.
And I think I want to press on.
Yeah.
There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. And I think that the more you can... you can communicate unconditional love to one another mm-hmm. to create a safe place, you know, where you know that there can be truth telling, because truth telling needs to be done in a trusting relationship.
Absolutely.
Right? And so I think that, you know, there's the responsibility for all of us on that, to not be the person who casts a conditional love feel in a relationship and then expects, you know, truth telling, but where we put the foundation of unconditional love out, like Melissa just said, you know, earlier, and where it can be a space where we can say whatever we need to, and we can then move forward because of it. And so I think what we can't have in our relationship is a risk that everything's going to fall apart if I share something. But rather the knowledge that, you know, there might be hard things to share, but that in the sharing is really where you start making progress.
Yeah. Those healing, yeah. those conversations are healing.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
They are. Okay, the second sign of a miserable marriage is avoidance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is just something that happens over time in some marriages. And I think we got to really watch for it. It kind of reminds me of when I was a teenager, you know, and all teenagers, I think, go through this phase, not all teenagers, but most, where they kind of just don't want to be around the family as much, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's like I'm learning my independence, you know, I've got other things I want to do.
Want to be with my friends.
Want to be with my friends or want to just can I eat my dinner in my room? You know, it's like avoiding the dinner table sort of thing. And sometimes we treat our spouse like that
yes.
where, you know, and it's different things. Like maybe it's through overwork, you know, where we lean into work. And there could be underlying reasons why some of this stuff happens. And it might stem from, I don't know how to win at home. And
so you're voting.
I know how to win at work. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm going to put all my energy and time.
Yeah.
You know, it can be, sometimes it is, I don't know how to win in my marriage, but I know how to win with my kids. So all my attention goes on my kids. And those are tough things. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I've got these outside friends and, you know, we've been friends for a long time. And sometimes here's where we see, like, when the older people are, when they get married, the harder sometimes these adjustments are because you've got a way of doing things,
yeah,
right?
Kind of settled.
You've kind of got a routine and a rhythm, and it's harder to break that.
Yeah.
And you know how it is. If you've gotten married and you had friends that you used to hang out with, and then you started dating, and then you got engaged, and all of a sudden they're like, "You don't love us anymore." You know. Sometimes our loyalty to those people stays stronger than it should be, to the detriment of our spouse. Mm-hmm. And so you got these outside friends. That's sometimes true. It's hobbies that you're just, you know, head mm-hmm. down in, and you're just avoiding your marriage because you're always playing games, or you're always out in the garage, or you're always on social media. Always at the gym or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're avoiding your spouse and those things are taking their place, it could be distraction. Sometimes it's not being intimate with your spouse. That's a one way of avoiding your spouse, mm-hmm. is just not being intimate with them. And, you know, the clue would be about your desire, you know, where it was the phone check in the first one is like, that might be a telltale sign that there's secrets. Is if you don't feel comfortable with your spouse just grabbing your phone, then it's like, uh-oh, maybe there's something going on that you need to explore. When it's this one with avoidance, it's like, is the desire there, you know? Gut check is, do you want to be around your spouse? Mm. You know, when there is an opportunity, do you look for excuses to spend time with them? Do you look for excuses to not spend time with them?
Wow.
You know, and yeah. because, if it is true that you're kind of avoiding, it's a heart issue and there's something deeper going on, and, you know, it needs to be dealt with. But the thing that you can do, the solution that you can actually implement, is to show some effort. And, you know, it's kind of like cut something else out and cut your spouse back in.
That's right.
Like, figure out a way to put them back in a place of priority. And I get it. Sometimes we wait until we feel like doing that. And you know that's never going to happen. You know that there has to be some action that happens before the feeling. In other words, we always say, you know, act your way into feeling. But this is really about value. It's about, what do you value the most? And I think that if we can frame it that way, then you can go, why am I avoiding my spouse? Or you might go, yeah, why are they avoiding me? Something needs to be approached here. And in Revelation chapter 2, we see Jesus talking about how the relationship with people goes. And it's not that different. God's relationship with people is not that different from our relationship with each other. He goes, you know, I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other the way you did at first. Look how far you've fallen. He says, turn back to me and do the works you did at first. And I think sometimes if you feel distance or you're avoiding your spouse, you got to pause and go, wait a second. I value this relationship more than I value the gaming system, more than I value, you know, this habit or these social connections. I value my marriage more. Mm-hmm. We are called, we committed, we vowed to value this person and this relationship above everything else in our human world. And so sometimes it's about going back to, well, what brought you together in the first place? Right. I mean, how did you treat them when you were engaged? You didn't avoid them when you were engaged. No. You didn't avoid them before you got engaged. You were all about them, right? That's the only person you could think about. The only thing you wanted to do was spend time with them. So what changed? Well, maybe you could go back to those times and go, okay, let me practice some of the things that we were doing at that point in time. So here's a challenge for you on this one is go on a walk, hold hands and talk. I mean, can you imagine if you just initiated that? If you've been feeling distance and you just initiated that, I get it. It might be a little shocking to your spouse. They might be like, "What happened to you?" But just do it and see how it you know, takes them by surprise. And do something sweet for your spouse. Mm-hmm. Again, act your way into feeling. Make a decision. Do the action and trust that it's going to be something that helps. I mean, what if you were just to picture your spouse on the wedding day? Go back to that moment. Picture your spouse on the wedding day. And then in your mind, say, for that person, I'm going to go on a walk, you know, hold hands and talk. I'm going to initiate something sweet because you got together because you loved each other. Mm-hmm. And you can get there again. I like what Wayne Dyer, I don't normally quote Wayne Dyer, but he said something I like about this. He said, be miserable or motivate yourself. Whatever has to be done, it's always your choice.
Whoa, yes.
You know, we have a choice in this. And so if you feel like you're avoiding your spouse or they're avoiding you, take some action on it.
All right. The third thing, this one is interesting. Incompatibility. And the reason I wanted to talk about incompatibility is because I think that's such an excuse that we have so often is, oh, we just grew apart. We just became incompatible. And I just feel like, man, you know, Gabe and I could not be more opposite. He is 100% vanilla and I'm 100% chocolate.
But you say it like vanilla is a bad thing.
Vanilla is not a good thing. So
it's the best thing. I mean,
vanilla is boring.
Did you know that vanilla is the most popular ice cream out there?
It's because people are boring.
Awesome.
I don't know.
That's why.
Listen, it just.
I think it's either French vanilla or vanilla bean. It's the way to go.
Okay.
I mean, so you gotta remember that.
Okay. Yeah. I just don't like vanilla very much unless it has chocolate in it.
Vanilla
okay.
bean.
But my point is with incompatibility is it takes effort to be compatible.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does. I have a friend at the gym. She's such a hoot. She's really outgoing and really fun. But she was saying how her and her husband have been so like, they're so incompatible and we don't have anything in common, but I just love them so much. And they've been married forever. And she's like, he drives me crazy. And she says, but you know what? About 2 months ago, we started doing pickleball. Yeah. And we do it several times a week and we are having the time of our lives.
That's so funny.
And they're in retirement. And I'm like, that's awesome. Because you know what it's like when you're doing life and you're finishing college, like us, we finished college and then we went to work and then we had kids and then we raised our kids. And now we're like, oh, we're like empty nesters. And it's like, sometimes you need to find things to be compatible in. It takes an effort.
And as you're talking about us being mm-hmm. empty nesters, man, that's been a transition for us.
It is a transition.
We have both struggled with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it kind of takes a little bit of your identity away. And
well, it
you're
does
trying
because,
to figure out
oh, I love being a mommy.
Yeah.
Like it was my greatest.
But you're so right. Thing. You kind of have to make a choice in those moments.
You do.
Are we going to lean in together?
Right. Are we going to come together and mm-hmm. find something that we love together and be compatible? Because incompatibility to me is just a big fat excuse.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they say opposites attract, right? Yeah. So when you're dating and stuff and you're so opposite, it's kind of fun. You're like, you pull things out of me and I pull things out of you and we try new things and we, you know what I'm saying? Like we do these things and, but I mean, if we were both the same, one of us isn't necessary.
Yeah.
So it's fun to be different. We balance each other. And that's the beauty of incompatibility is that mm-hmm. we're balancing each other. We're challenging each other. We're growing. I mean, we're kind of like shaving off the rough edges, you know, and that's okay. I mean, that you got to find stuff you love to do. Gabe and I love to serve together. Mm-hmm. We love to eat out. We love to travel. We love to go outside. We love to hike. We love walks. I mean, we have found things because when Gabe and I first got together, we were very opposite. Gabe is very studious. He's very smart. I'm not as smart. I'm very street smart. And I'm just, but he is like head down in the books driven. Mm. That can drive me and still does drive me insane sometimes. but the thing is, though, is there's stuff that we do together that I love and I let him be him and he lets me be me.
Yeah.
But we come together and do fun stuff together and we found compatibility in an incompatible relationship because most people fall in love because they're opposites. I mean, mm-hmm. because they complement each other. So yes, it takes effort to find things you both love and then it takes effort to actually do them. But when you do, it brings you together in such a special way. So don't make any more excuses. I don't like when people say we're growing apart. That whole saying just drives me crazy. I'm like, that's a choice. And if you're going to grow together, that's a choice. And there's stuff you can do to do that.
Right. I mean, I think fundamentally the word growing means progress.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've committed your life before God to stay together, then going apart is not growth.
Right.
That's shrinking apart.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And you let things get in the way that pulls you apart. So you have to be intentional about what's going to pull you back together or push you back together. So another thing is people romanticize marriage. Like it's, you know, when you're engaged, all you think about is the rainbows and unicorns. You don't really think about the effort. That's why I think premarital counseling is so important. Like the Simbus that Les and Leslie Parrott do.
Saving
I think
your marriage before it starts.
It's so powerful.
Simbus.com.
It's so good. They are fantastic. Mm-hmm. I love Les and Leslie Parrott. But man, it takes effort. And when you're doing a premarital counseling thing like that, you see the holes and the gaps that you're like, okay, I need to work on this. You need to work on that. And when we come together, this may be a problem. And we need to look at that and work on that. But you know what? When you bring two imperfect people that think they're perfect together, there's going to be fireworks. That's all there is to it. I always think I'm right. And I'm not. But it's one
whoa,
of those things.
Whoa. Did you guys hear that? This is
it's
recorded.
On, it's
this
recorded.
Is out for everybody to hear. What did you just say?
Nothing.
Oh.
So, I mean, with the incompatibility thing, I think marriage just takes effort. It honestly takes effort. Incompatibility takes effort.
Yeah.
So come together. I mean, never let feelings control your commitment.
Yeah.
I feel like feelings come and go. They always come and go. But commitment is the steady ground. And so no matter what's going on in our life that's chaotic, knowing that this relationship is solid because of our commitment to each other, and it doesn't waver with my feeling of annoyance or whatever's going on that day. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I'm feeling insecure. I'm feeling fearful. I'm hungry. Whatever it is, don't let feelings control your commitment. And then the solution is recommit and rebuild. Recommit to each other. Maybe you need to have a conversation even tonight that says, you know what? I'm committed to you, Gabriel Jason Kolstad, no matter what. Absolutely, till death do us part. No matter what. Recommit to each other and then spend the time it takes to rebuild. When you come together and say, you know what? I feel like we've been drifting and I feel like I'm feeling a little incompatible. Let's find a new hobby. Let's find something fun to do. Like Gabe said, grab hands and go on a walk and have a conversation. And if you do that every day, you're going to start drawing closer and closer together and you're going to find some compatibility that you've lost because of your lack of effort. Mm. And it really does take an effort. So be compatible. I love John or Mark 10:9. Mm-hmm. Let no man separate what God has joined together. Let nobody separate you, not even yourselves.
There you go.
You know, you come together and you choose to come together. And there's a lot to this. So, I mean, these things, three signs of miserable marriage, secrets, incompatibility. What was yours, baby?
Avoidance. Yeah.
Man, those will tear you apart, but we can do something about that and we can come out stronger on the other side.
Yeah. Yeah. We've always said, any two followers of Jesus, like, you could be incompatible if you don't share the ultimate value in life. That would be real incompatibility, you know? And I think even then you could still work together. But so many times it's about going, wait, we are compatible. We at least have our common faith in common. Yep.
In our values.
If you do. And our values. Mm-hmm. And those are the things that are worth building on, right? Yep. You know, because there's always going to be differences in the other stuff of our life. But I just so love those words of Jesus. Don't let anyone pull you apart.
Not even yourselves. So good.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks for joining us. We hope this is helpful stuff. I know it's a little bit hard hitting today, but we hope this builds you up. And we would love for you to subscribe if you're not already subscribed to Marriage Monthly. It's just something we put out every month. We want to give you helpful things, help you grow in your marriage. We are passionately committed to developing people who build lifelong marriages. We think that marriage is awesome and that it can be really, really fun. So hope you'll subscribe and we hope you'll share as well with somebody that you know that might benefit from this. But we'll see you again next month.